and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How does a kid who grew up in Queens, New York, end up marrying a local girl, a woman from Kauai, and together pastor a dynamic church on the Garden Isle? This is the story of Pastor John Cabello. We pause for a moment at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to bring you closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, for you to know the one who loves you and knows you and all that you're facing right now, whatever challenges they might be, however tough things may be going, sometimes we feel like our back is against the wall. There's nowhere to turn. But hey, look, there is always hope in Jesus. Turn to Jesus. Jesus, who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, who has touched the life of Pastor John Cabello, his wife Rhonda, is calling out to you. Question: will you open your heart to Christ if you have not yet done so? And if you have, our prayer is that you will draw nearer to him, even through our time together. John Cabello is the senior pastor of New Hope Lihue. He served in the United States Marine Corps. He graduated from Chaminade University with a degree in historical and political studies. He earned a minor in religious studies. John and his wife, Rhonda, Pastor Rhonda, have a passion to make God's word relevant to people's lives through the arts, food, and laughter. They have three sons, Noah, Jonah, and Elisha. Pastor John, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny. It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much, and thank you for that wonderful prayer and opening up our session here today. Thank you so much.
I mentioned Queens, New York. What part of Queens, and what was it like growing up there?
Yeah, I grew up in Richmond Hill, New York, which is just outside of Jamaica, Queens. We moved there from the Bronx. I was first grade at that time. I grew up on 124th Street. So it was kind of almost like the movie Sandlot. It was quite magical in a sense that growing up in the city there was my 124th Street block. And everybody on the block knows you. So no matter where you went, someone would talk to you or tell you that mom needs you or something like that. So it was somewhat magical for a big part of my growing up there on 124th Street.
Give me a sense of proximity, Richmond Hill. How far from Shea Stadium, home of the Mets?
Okay, so that's Flushing Meadow Park area. So really not even a half an hour drive, I would say we were, if you got on the Van Wyck Expressway and went that way, was I from Shea Stadium, exactly. So it's in that, I would say it's like in the central area of Queens right there.
Okay. Who influenced you most, John, in your growing up years?
In my growing up years on 124th Street, the big influence was just my block itself. Was everybody on the block was a sense of family and community growing up on the block. Of course, the big influence was my parents also. But unfortunately, my parents did end up separating and divorced, and then I finished the rest of my high school years in the Orlando area in Florida over there. Once moving to Florida in high school, a big influence was someone I had some really great teachers. And one specifically was a man named Mr. Jack Fine, who was my masonry teacher. And Mr. Jack Fine just taught us, especially a bunch of boys in his class from the masonry class who came from maybe broken households or stuff like that, that we can accomplish anything. have a good work ethic. And that remains me. Even to this day, I still think about Mr. Jack Fine in that capacity.
How did you become a Christian?
Well, a big influence for me growing up on 124th Street was I was raised Catholic. And so I was an altar boy and did everything in that regard as a good Catholic boy. When I went to the Marine Corps in Okinawa, I really found my faith and my Catholic faith in a sense. And then came back and remained Catholic. But growing up, when I got stationed here to Hawaii, in Kaneohe Marine Corps Air Station, I began to listen to Pastor Wayne Cordero on the radio. And then I started taking classes and delving more into the Word. And certain things for me were not maybe necessarily adding up. And during that time, listening to Pastor Wayne, eventually moving here to Kauai, began to go to a New Hope Church. And in that process, I realized that God was calling me to something greater. In my past, I didn't want to become a priest, and that never worked out. To make a long story short, it was a pastor, a good friend of mine, Pastor Matt Higa, who has New Hope Kauai here on the Garden Island, spoke and prophesied to my life one day and says, "You're running from your call. And by the time you're 40, you got to make a choice of what you're going to do." And that was it for me and my wife. We both knew that God had called us. And from that moment on, we gave our lives to the Lord and began to pursue it.
So let's take a couple steps back. John, why did you choose the Marines with all the armed forces that you could have chosen? Why the Marines?
My father was a Marine, so I grew up listening to his stories. And to be honest, I wanted to have I wanted to be what was considered for us the best of the services. That was the hardest. And then growing up without my mom being around no more, and just me and my brother and father, I had to make a decision, and I didn't want to hang around. My biggest fear was to hang around after high school and do nothing. So I joined a late entry, the Marine Corps. And I'll tell you a real quick story on how God works in that. Prior to joining in the Marine Corps, I joined the Marine Corps. There was a graduation night, and I won a raffle ticket. And the raffle ticket, and that was in 1985 or 86, and I won a bodyboard. And I started bodyboarding up and down the East Coast, and was one of the first ones to do it on the East Coast. And that's what actually brought me to Hawaii, because when it came time to reenlist, and the Marine Corps said, "Where do you want to go?" I said, "Well, if you'll send me to Hawaii, I'll go to Hawaii." And that's what happened. So basically, on a raffle is how God got me here, all the way to Hawaii.
And you listened to the preaching of Pastor Wayne Cordero. You end up moving to Kauai. What did Pastor Matt Higa, you mentioned he prophesied over you. Give us a gist of what he said, what God revealed to him or gave to him to share with you.
Well, if I were to go back, even growing up, I always felt there was God had called me to something. I used to walk to school in New York, and I would cross the avenue, and I'd seen the movie The Ten Commandments, and I would make believe that I was Moses leading people out. So when the avenue and it would light would turn red and the cars would stop, I would imagine myself leading people through the Red Sea. So I grew up with a sense of a call in my life, and I'd seen some things happen in my life. So we moved over here to Kauai and gave ourselves to the Lord, and we were going to Pastor Matt's church. Pastor Matt gave me a call one day. I hardly knew the man, really. And he said, "Can you come to this prayer group? We're going to have a prayer meeting." And I went to the prayer meeting, and he called me forward for prayer. So me being, used to also way of praying, I was about to speak, and I was about to tell him I want to be a good father, a good husband, the normal things you ask for. And Pastor Matt looked at me and boldly told me to shut up. Mm. And he had my attention at that point, being a kid from New York, and I looked at him, and he began to prophesy over my life. And what he basically said was that God has called you, and you know that you're running away from the call. The time has not passed you up. And he said, by the time you're 40, you're going to have to make a decision if you're going to follow God's call or not, and you'll be known as Pastor John. And I stepped away from him. I was actually indignant. I was like, "How did you know that?" And he looked at me, and he pointed up to the sky, and it's like God told him. I remember walking outside that church that day here in Lahui. It was a clear, clear night. I looked up at the stars, and I said, "Okay, Lord, you're real. I'm not going to find you in a statue. I'm not going to find you in some meetings. You actually talk to your people." And the best advice that evening that Pastor Matt ever gave me, he said, "John, I need for you to begin to read your Bible. is begin to do devotions and journal what God is speaking into your life. And that is a discipline I've picked up now for over 13 or 14 years now, doing every single day. And when I began to open up the word began to speak to me. It was just an eye-opening experience for me and my family. And that was what Matt, Pastor Matt, spoke into my life, and we've been following God ever since, fully.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Pastor John Cabello. He and his wife, Rhonda, pastors at New Hope Lihue on Kauai and Kauai. And when we come back, you know, he's talked about the Marines. He's talked about living in Hawaii. He mentioned being stationed in Okinawa, growing up in Queens, just 30 minutes away, thereabouts. Richmond Hill, 30 minutes away from Flushing, New York. The New York Mets come to mind. When we come back from our break, a question. How did he meet Rhonda? Well, we'll talk about that. Rhonda being his life partner. The two become one. And God uses them today for the ministry of the gospel. Stay with us. We'll be back with more. NewHopeLihue.org.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Pastors John and Rhonda Cabello, well, they believe in reaching people for Christ through love, laughter, and the uncompromising truth of God's Word. Their aim? To see people's lives restored to the fullness of their uniqueness in Jesus Christ, and their individual gifts used and celebrated to impact the world. Pastor John is with us today. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here. Thanks for joining us. If you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of our last segment. Look, you can get this program in its entirety as a gift to you. Go ahead and download it at thegoodlifehawaii.com. And as I typically say, remember to share it with a family member or a friend. Certainly, Pastor John is here, and as God uses him to bless us. You can find out more about New Hope Lihue at newhopelihue.org. Pastor John, how did you meet Rhonda?
Rhonda and I met 26 years ago. It was a Columbus Day weekend, and we met at Moose's McCullicullies on University Avenue back in the day, time weren't safe. And I went out there with a bunch of friends, and I saw her on the dance floor, and that was it. I grabbed her hand and asked her if she wanted to dance, and we've been dancing ever since after that together. So that's how we met. And at the time, we were serving at a Catholic church over at Shawnee University. So she was going to college. Rhonda got a full-ride scholarship through Kamehameha to go to Shawnee University with her degree in both early child education and education degree. And she inspired me to go to school also. So I started going to college also at Chaminade while in the service. And then when I got to the Marine Corps, after I had a first child, I continued my education and finished at Chaminade. So yeah, 26 years ago. I just turned 52 on Saturday, and I realized that half of my life has been spent with the love of my life.
Mm. Well, you mentioned Moose's, and just by saying that, it conjures up for many in a certain generation. It conjures up a lot of memories for people. Moose's.
It does. And that, as a Marine, that's what you did. That's what we did back in the day. And what's so beautiful about that is that we serve a God of hope, a God that can use anybody, for no matter what they're going through, where they've been. For any purpose that he wants to use in their life. So Rhonda and I have been blessed. We've been very open and honest with our past and everything that we've been through to get us where we're at here today, because he's a God of grace and a God of mercy. And we've just been blessed. But I have just been, that day was a God-ordained day that I ended up meeting my wife, because I would not be where I'm at here today if not with her and our oneness together.
I like the way you describe it. I asked her to dance, and we've been dancing ever since. And maybe I'll add to the tune of the divine music of the Lord our God. You're dancing, and you're still dancing. Now, how did God? And you mentioned her training, her degrees in education. How did God lead you both into education and even ownership of a Montessori daycare?
Well, Rhonda graduated, and she was working at Montessori Community School there in Honolulu, and then she worked at Assets also. Me and Rhonda always ended up working together, so while she was working at the Montessori school, I was the facilities manager going to school in the evenings working on my degree. The hustle and bustle after having two children kind of got to us after a while, so Rhonda wanted to come back home to Kauai, so we made the move back here. And then it's funny, after we found the Lord, after we both gave our lives to the Lord, my wife said, you know, John, I want to have another child, and I want to open a preschool. Just as boldly as that, within a year, those two things happened. We opened up a Montessori preschool in Lihue. We ran that for 5 years. And after that, when our youngest child was old enough to go to school, we stopped. And we both bent on to teaching full-time after that. Well, actually subbing full-time. Once I found my call in the ministry, I went on to subbing after that, because it allowed me the opportunity to still minister and also to work at the school. And moving to Kauai, my first job teaching was teaching for 5 years with at-risk children, which I thoroughly enjoyed, because that was kind of my background, also coming from a divorce background. So God just kind of orchestrated that to happen. And we have a heart for education, a heart for our youth here on the island also.
So with all that going on, John, when did you have time to own and operate JC's Puerto Rican Kitchen?
Rhonda, back in 2000, I believe it was 11, went to India on a mission trip, a two-week mission trip. Her and a bunch of ladies from church went over there, and they were going to teach and dance hula in India. So we wanted to raise some money for that. So my background is that my father was a chef. My grandmother was a gourmet cook. I love to cook. So I said, as a fundraiser, we'll sell my father's tacos, which are Puerto Rican-inspired tacos. And we sold those, and those were a big hit. And from that, I said, Lord, what are my gifts? And my gifts are to teach, preach, and, of course, cooking also. So let me combine these three things. And we began doing the farmer's market on Saturdays. And from just those tacos, the business grew to a full menu of having, they call it here in Hawaii, ganduri rice. We call it arroz con gandules in back in New York or Puerto Rico. Pasteles, we sold those. So we had a full menu. And we did that for 7 years. We finally got our own food trailer over about a year and a half ago. And what happened with that was that after we took over the church, we saw the church flourishing. And the Lord spoke to both me and my wife separately. We came together and we realized that the God was telling us to give up the food trailer. And that was really hard for us because that was a big dream of ours. And we had worked hard to get the food trailer, but delayed obedience is disobedience. So beginning of this past year, we sold the food trailer and went into full-time complete ministry for us in the church. And can I tell you, it was a blessing for us in the church to do that. We've seen the church flourish ever since, and God is faithful. So yeah, for 7 years, we've been known as the Patela pastor and also as JC's Burger Kitchen. But when God said to release it, we released it.
Oh, I never thought I'd ever have an opportunity to speak. I've spoken to many pastors, but not the Patele pastor. John, what were some of the most popular dishes? I mean, if you choose one or two that always just sold, you knew this was the big sellers. What were they?
It was the pateles for sure. We started off with making the tacos, then we did the ganduri rice. But once we introduced the patele plate, which was the patele, the arroz con gandules or the ganduri rice, and then I made a Puerto Rican potato salad, and then we put the olla on top of that, the pateles on top of it. That was the big seller. So we used to make about 50 of those, 50 pateles or 60 a week we made just for one day, and we sold out every single Saturday. Oh. And then we moved to Wednesdays because I transitioned to the senior pastor position. I was the associate pastor. So when we transitioned to the senior, I moved from Saturdays to doing it Wednesdays. And we had a big following over there also. But that was our number one seller, was the Patera plate, of course. Yeah.
Well, I hope I'm not being too obscure in as we change a little bit. We're still on topic, but I'm just curious. You know, when you own a restaurant and you're serving food, people come, right? The word spreads, it's word of mouth. Are there any certain people that you met that you didn't expect to meet that in the 7 years you said, wow, that was a special encounter I had with this person or that person? Any of those?
We've had people we got to pray with, and one person in particular, her hand was, she had some carpal tunnel issues, and we just prayed for her. And then remember her coming back, and the Lord healed her. So those are the encounters that were really, really wonderful for us, was meeting people, because we would tell folks, we had a sign up there, if you need prayer, we'll pray for you, and I would come out and pray for them. We had one woman who received her hearing back. We prayed for her, and she was a doubter, and we just, you know, It wasn't a long prayer. It was a prayer. It was right to the point. Lord, heal this woman. We should get her hearing back in Jesus' name. And my wife prayed for her. We had a worker pray for her. And she came back a few weeks later and said, the Lord healed her. Restored her hearing. Those are the kind of encounters that to us were the most precious. And folks knowing what we did, so they would just come to the market and just come and say, can pastor just pray for me? And I would step out of what I was doing and just give a moment to pray for them. It's those kind of encounters that have been the most rewarding for us, and that we've seen lives. And a big part of it is that's how our church also grew, because people knew you, they saw your work ethic, they saw your community, and word began to spread. You know, and we've had encounters with folks who maybe didn't believe, or they found out that JC actually didn't mean my name, John Cabello, but meant Jesus Christ. And the beauty about cooking is that they can't help but to receive the love of Christ when they eat the food, because that's a gift that God gave me. So by eating the food, they're receiving an impartation of God's love through the gift in which he has given me, which is why I'm so firmly believing in that. If you have a gift, use your gift, because when you use that gift, God's affirming love is used through that gift to touch somebody else.
Oh, what a message. What a message, Pastor John. Do you get that? If you have a gift, use your gift. God has given you that gift. Use your gift for the glory of God. And just by hearing, Pastor John, the profound way in which you just expressed the gifting and the interaction and the levels of unique and divine intimacy that God has placed you in, allowing you, opening doors for prayer, and then the Spirit of God moving, healing people. The marvel of God's grace. Dear friend, when we come back from our break, we'll talk more with Pastor John. We'll talk more about New Hope Lihue, God's preparation. He's gone through several transitions. But let's go beneath that. I wonder, what were some of the signs? How did God begin to develop John Cabello to be attuned that a change is on the horizon? Preparation is being given at a certain point, because God is getting ready to unveil something else. The Lord may be getting ready to unveil something for you too. Stay with us. We'll be back with more. NewHopeLihue.org.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, you
guests.
See, Danny, how can I get in touch with Pastor John and Pastor Rhonda? Go to newhopelihue.org. You know, both John and Rhonda have over 30 years of teaching experience. They've taught at the local schools on Kauai. They operated and owned a Montessori daycare, and have also owned and operated, as we were just talking, JC's Puerto Rican Kitchen. They've been in ministry for over 18 years, full-time ministry for the last 3 years. Again, newhopelihue.org. John, you've gone through a number of transitions in your life, and since coming to Christ, you see the hand of God guiding you, leading you. You mentioned something in our last segment. You mentioned delayed obedience is disobedience. So how did you learn that, and how did you learn to be more attuned or in tune with God in step as he leads and guides in these periods of change?
I believe the word for what the word says for us, for both my wife and I. We have to make the decision to let go of the business. So within a month, we kind of let it go. People ask us, have you prayed about this? And for us, there was nothing to pray about because God told us to do it. If you look at the life of Abraham, it says consistently the next morning he got up and he moved forward. So we just believe the word of God to be the word of God. And if God said he's going to do it, then God is going to do it. I remember once when we were going to transition out of doing the business, of course, I was looking at our finances. And I remember sitting at my desk and crunching all these numbers and saying, Lord, you got to do this, Lord, you got to do that. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, I already told you to sell it. You're going to be fine. In other words, we tend to question or doubt God at his word. And that's, we get caught up in doing that. If God says he's going to do what he's going to do, he's going to do it. Of course, I want to use tact and wisdom, but I'm not going to want to sit back and do nothing. I got to move forward what God has asked me to do, and God will come through all the time. I'd rather side on the side of moving forward and speaking her from God than not doing anything whatsoever. So for us, that's been a lifestyle that we've lived. And that we have here for ourselves and for our family.
What strikes me, John, is not just doing what God says to do, but what strikes me is the timing in which you do it, or we ought to do it. It's not just, okay, well, I ended up doing it. It took me a long time. I dragged my heels, so to speak, but I ended up doing it. Reluctantly, but I did it. From what I'm hearing from you is that there is in the obedience, there is a promptness to the obedience. So this is a different level or a different layer of obedience that I hear, and I'm also, you know, figuratively speaking, seeing through your life. Were there times... ever times when you dragged your heels? You
there were times when I was in, yes, I was in seasons of what I like to call process the promise. In other words, you know, prior to me becoming the senior pastor of the church I'm at now, and I served this church for over 10 years, and then our senior pastor decided that was going to go to China full-time missions and asked we take over. But prior to that, I was kind of in a funk. I was in a place where I was trying to do things my own way. So what I would say to folks listening is that when you try to do it your own way, that's when you're probably in disobedience. When I'm trying to figure this out on my own. In other words, so when God spoke to me and said, sell this, I'm not going to try to figure this out on my own anymore. He said to move on. When I tend to try to outthink things and try to make it on my own way, I find myself then in a sense of disobedience to what God has asked me to do and the promises God has for my life. So prior to this all happening, we were doing our business. The certified kitchen I was using, I was losing that. We did not yet have our food trailer, so we didn't know what we were doing with the business. And then the whole question was, okay, I've been serving as associate pastor for many years, so what do you have? And I just did not know. And my wife and I had a very deep discussion. I remember I was going to the dump to take some trash to the dump with my truck. And on the way back, I just put up my hands and I cried. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I said, Lord, I am literally lost right now. I just don't know what to do. And I can tell you from that prayer right there is that the Lord then took me and had me. And within a week, we got the certified kitchen. And then also we found out that we'd be being asked to take over the church. And that wasn't an easy thing to do, just to take over the church, because we were at the time living with my mother-in-law. We were living in her garage at the time. We had lost the previous house we had because we had renters. So we were in a really, really crazy spot. But God was now asking us in that position to take over and to lead this church into its next season. But it was a process God was putting us through. So I would say, yes, me not knowing or not being sure myself prior to that was leading to all of these things. But once God spoke and once I gave it over to God and surrendered it, things began to fall into place, not just for myself and my family, but then for those that God was calling us to lead.
What are you most passionate about in this season of your life?
us right now, I'm most passionate about right now is lifting other people up and to reach in our community. So what a passion for us now, especially for our church this year, is to begin to really reach our community in areas that I see that's a need. You know, here in Hawaii, we have a high suicide rate, and there's an issue of mental illness that a lot of churches don't want to talk about. Our church has been very bold in this, and we've done research on it, and we're talking about that at church right now, that there's people in our community who are suffering from mental illness of some sort, and what can we do as a church to reach out to them? I mean, here's the bottom line when it comes to mental illness. If someone at my church comes down with a physical ailment, let's say it's cancer or something, we'll rally behind that person and bring them meals, take care of them. But if somebody is struggling with a mental illness of deep depression, bipolarism, and people know about it, people are going to shun or stay away from that person because they just think they don't know how to react to it. It shouldn't be that way. We need to reach across to everybody who comes to our churches and love them, even those who are struggling a period of their lives with some kind of mental illness also. So these are things for us that we are passionate about right now in our church and reaching our community and reaching every aspect of our community also.
You touch on a nerve, John, when you talk about mental the conditions of people mentally and emotionally. You mentioned depression. You mentioned suicide. I recently read that there's the national average for young people is 7.4% for those who have attempted suicide, our youth. In Hawaii, it's at 10%, so above the national average. It's a national international epidemic, but at the same time, that I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, well, that's probably those that have been reported and logged. How many others have not been reported and or logged? How did you develop a sensitivity to those who are depressed, those who struggle with mental illness, even those who contemplate suicide? How did that area begin to beat heavily on your heart?
We just did a campaign at this at church, and we have a ministry called We Is Greater Than I. You know, if we come together, we are greater than just one if we address this. For me personally, I struggled through it. Many years ago, I went through a really hard point of depression in my life. It was really bad. And the good part is that my senior pastor, my good friend and mentor, Pastor Doug Kozup, who was a pastor before me, he never treated me with any kind of shame or guilt. He treated me with love and acceptance. He helped me work my way through it. And this is something that needs to be done for those who are struggling. I gave a message about mental illness at church. I had folks come to me after church, so thankful, and telling me that they struggle with schizophrenia all their life, or they struggle with bipolarism all their life, and they're taking medication. But now, for the first time, there's no sense of guilt or shame about it, and we tend to do that. And I'm telling you, church should not be a place of any secrets. We should become the church and feeling accepted there, feeling to be honest and open what my struggles are. So for me, it was passion because I grew up with that. I had a father who I loved. But back in the day, no one knew what that was called. Back, we know what it was now. My father suffered from he was bipolar. He had a lot of serious issues, which caused, you know, some heartache in my family. So it's something that is important to me. Then also as a teacher here and a person who works with youth, I see what these children are going through. And I've known people on the island who have committed suicide. It has affected our island here on Kauai. And I just believe that the church needs to step up and begin to say something or do something or be a voice about this situation. We tend to keep this in the dark and don't talk about it at all at church, and then people suffer quietly. And that's that is not God's heart. So that's why this is very passionate to me and for me, because folks need to be reached.
We need to spend a little more time on this. I think that's imperative, and we'll do that to drive home a bit further, perhaps even to speak to someone today who is overwhelmed with a sense of helplessness, hopelessness, maybe in a very dark place, where he or she is unable to articulate where they are. There's a point of isolation. Instead of engagement, disengagement. Instead of drawing towards others, drawing away from others. And it seems to be the safe place, at least it feels that way in the moment, but there's a lot going on, as you well know, Pastor John, in the hearts of people who struggle with mental illness or struggle with depression or maybe even contemplating something very drastic right now. Let's talk further about this when we come back from our break. I want you to stay with us, because I believe Pastor John is going to, because of the sensitivity that God has given him, because of his life experience, a word of hope, a word of inspiration, not just to pump you up with catchy phrases, no, but through the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, breathing life into your heart and mind and spirit. And I'll ask Pastor John to pray as well. I believe God is going to touch you. Stay with us now. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, every once in a while, you've got to go beyond surface talk. Maybe more than once in a while. Maybe we need more of that in our busy world where there's so much distraction that goes on. Our minds can take flight into areas of interest from here to there, and in just a few moments we've thought about so many things, but there is so much of it might be on the surface. What about what's going on in life, going on in our hearts, going on in our minds? How do we feel emotionally? Health, mental health, emotional, spiritual health. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. My guest today, Pastor John Cabello, is a senior pastor of New Hope Lihue. You can find out more about New Hope Lihue at newhopelihue.org. To find out more about our program, thegoodlifehawaii.com. Not only this show and others, we've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shows we've aired. We're now entering into our 11th year. Can you imagine that? We've been doing this for 10 years. And A Slice of the Good Life airs across the United States and even in Canada, the Philippines, and England, goodlifeslice.com. Pastor John, before our break, we were talking about some serious stuff. Someone today in a funk would be one way of saying it. Someone else, we might say, they're in darkness, grave darkness. Somebody might be contemplating some thoughts that might even cause them to have fear. They don't normally think those thoughts. Serious stuff. What would you say to someone who's going through a really difficult time right now?
I would say that you're not alone. There's other people out there who have been where you are at, and you are loved, that you are accepted. And so here's a part of it that what happens is that you don't feel accepted right now because of what you're feeling or what you're going through, but God's word says that he loves you regardless. God loves you regardless of how you might be feeling about yourself at this moment. His love for you it cannot be measured. God truly cares about you, and he is here for you. So my words to anybody right now who is struggling with depression or thoughts they shouldn't be having, those are not your thoughts. Those are not God's thoughts toward you. God loves you immensely, and there is a hope and there is a future for you. And I would tell you to reach out to somebody who loves you and cares for you. If you got to make a phone call, but just take that first step, and I will promise you that there is hope for you, no matter what you might be going through. That would be my prayer for that person. And let me just speak to that person right now. I know what it feels like to get up in the morning and open your eyes and excited at one moment, then that feeling of dread comes over you, and then you realize you have to face the day with all of this. Can I tell you there is hope? I'm living proof of it. God can get you out of that situation. God can get you out of that emotion, and God can set you free. And I would also say to anybody, there are simple things that we can do that I do for my life every day to go out and get some exercise, make sure I'm eating properly, to make sure that I'm hitting God's word and I'm doing the things that I need to be doing to keep my mind at a place where God wants it to be. God can set you free. And I believe someone right now, God's going to set them free at this very moment.
Amen.
I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit, at this very moment, someone's going to hear this word, and you're going to feel the power of God come over you, and God is just going to set your mind free to the reality of who you really are in Jesus. We have an identity crisis. People just don't know who they are. You are a son or a daughter of the living God. And Jesus came that you would know the Father's love and the Father's love for you. And I want someone to receive that love right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I pause just to let this sink in. The way you spoke, believing someone's going to be set free, someone's going to enter into a new dimension, as it were, in their life. Because God is going to work. God is moving. Pastor John, when you experience the liberation through this, how did it make you feel?
To be liberated. It made me feel alive. It made me feel, I began to know myself better. So I believe there's people who might be struggling with any sort of mental illness. So I know I know what happens to me if I don't do what I need to do to make sure that I am okay. I believe that we have a God who restores. We have a God who redeems. And sometimes we make the mistake is that we don't recover. In other words, if you look at King David going to Ziklag, he had to go recover what the enemy took from him. Too many times, even with mental illness, God has robbed something from, not God, but the enemy's robbed something, took something from us. And what the enemy takes, he takes our hope, right? So he laughs at us, but getting a hope isn't that difficult. I just got to recover and just take it back because God has promised it to me. That means sometimes if someone is struggling with a mental illness or struggling with any every area of their life, our job is to recover with the power of the Holy Spirit at our side to help us get through every single day. So what happened for me, Danny, is that slowly but surely, it got better and better and better. And here's something I never stopped doing, Danny. I never stopped serving at my church. I was persistent and continuing to go to church, to continue to be a good father as I could as I was struggling. And my wife could tell you, it was a difficult time for us. But by serving and continuing to serve the Lord, God got me through it. So there are some folks that God can heal instantly, but some folks that God will take you through a process. And now I know why God took me through the process, because I can look at somebody who's struggling and say, I know exactly how you feel. I know exactly what you're going through. And I can tell you on the promise of God, God will get you through this if you want to come alongside me. I'll hold your hand and we'll recover together.
John, as we get ready to end the show in just a few moments, you just say a prayer. Go further and say a prayer, pushing forward in this moment with someone who may be experiencing the Lord's touch right now, but someone who may be feeling like, well, I'm not experiencing anything, and it's always for someone else, not me.
So pray for that person,
yes,
who is not experiencing, doesn't feel it,
yeah,
and is just maybe at their last end of giving themselves away.
Right.
Let me pray for that person right now. Heavenly Father, for that person today, who just is at a point where they're just broken and they've given themselves away and they don't know, they don't feel a sense of hope. Lord, I ask for your rest on their life. But your rest comes with us, a willingness to rest, Father God. I pray that right now that they would just sit in that quiet place with you alone and that your Holy Spirit would speak to them and let them know they have never been alone. To the person right now who has thoughts that I'm by myself, there's a man out there right now who's thinking, no one knows how I feel. Can I just tell you right now, brother, that's a dangerous place to be at as a man. So don't believe that. Here's the bottom line to someone right now, to that person. You're not alone. There's other people who have felt like you felt. But the more that you are quiet, the more you're in silence in your heart, God can't get in there to help you. And it's going to take for you to recover, to talk to somebody who you love and trust, someone who is for you, to let it out. And I pray for that person that you find a place of no shame and no guilt, that you can just let and express how you are feeling out and start bottling up inside. For many hearing me right now, that is the issue for you, is that you just have no one to talk to. Can you just find someone to talk to? And I pray that God orchestrates that person in your life at this moment to sit with you and talk with you and to let out what's bottled up inside.
Amen.
And I pray this healing in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor John, what a blessing it is to have a man who has gone through the rigors of life with a pastor's heart, a nurturer, one who loves God and loves people. I'm so grateful that you've been with us. Before we close the show, I have, we've talked about some very deep, very serious matters of life. Perhaps on a lighter note of transition, I read that you enjoy watching football, Pastor John.
Yes.
You know, there's two teams. There's two teams in New York, right? Between the Giants and the Jets, which one is your team?
I'm a man of faith, Danny, because I'm a Jets fan. So I stand in belief that one day, that dream will come true again. So I am a diehard New York Jets fan. Yes, and I know that you've been to Harvard, so I'm kind of wondering who your team is. So which shows that there is actually hope amongst us Christians. If you are actually a Patriots fan, I still love you.
Oh, there's profound. There's a profundity to that because you're speaking of deep reconciliation, right? But how did you choose Jets over Giants? Just from a New Yorker's perspective.
I guess where I lived at in Richmond Hill, the Jets when I was raised were still playing at Shea Stadium. So many of the older guys listened to the Jets on the radio. I am, however, a Yankees fan, and I'm a Yankees fan because my grandfather was an old-timer, and he was a Golden Glove boxer. I used to go to the stadium with him next day for free. He used to get us going to the back in the bleachers. So I grew up a Yankee fan, but a Jets fan also.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's what happened.
Well, brother,
let me tell you how much my grandfather loved me. My grandfather would take me to Shea Stadium, and I asked him to watch the Mets, and begrudgingly, he took me because he loved me.
Oh, hey, someone might be listening and saying, "Well, of course, a grandfather. They might not realize the depth of what it took for him to do that, huh? Because of his love for you."
Exactly. They don't know what's as serious in New York.
This was a joy. John Cabello, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you so much for what you're doing.
Inspiring words, inspiring indeed, from Pastor John Cabello, New Hope, Lehue.org. My friend, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And look, if you haven't done so, I believe this is the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do it? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video I set up for you there. And if you'd like to stand with us with your prayers and your financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Isaiah 40, verse 29, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to John Cabello, newhopelehue.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Nelson, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.